Welcome to the Curvy Culture Podcast. I'm Andrea Westbrook, your host, and a dedicated size inclusion specialist and plus size life coach. My mission is to create a world where fat, curvy, and plus size people feel like they truly belong, can reach their full potential, and absolutely thrive. Whether you're a business owner, a people leader, or on your own personal journey, Curvy Culture offers you valuable insights and support. For business owners and people leaders, I'm here to guide you in understanding the profound impacts of weight stigma and anti-fat bias on your employees and your customers. Together, we'll pave the way towards skyrocketing your team engagement, supersizing your employee retention, propelling innovation and productivity, and of course, up-leveling your customer relationships. If you're on a personal journey and you are passionate and committed to positive change, the Curvy Culture Podcast is for you too. I'll be your guide, assisting you to navigate weight stigma and weight bias, encouraging you to let go of limiting beliefs about your size. Join me as we create spaces where you can find acceptance and live the life that you truly want to live. I'm so glad you're here with me on this empowering and insightful adventure as we shake up the stereotypes and celebrate the beauty and diversity of all body shapes and sizes. All content shared on and related to this program is for general informational purposes only and may contain stories and discussions that can be unsettling to some listeners. If you are concerned about yourself or someone you know, please seek professional and individual help and support. Hello, my friend. I am so excited to bring this episode to your ears. I am thrilled to share with you my conversation with size inclusion powerhouse slash pioneer, Chelsea Bonner. Chelsea is the CEO of talent agency Bella Management, which she founded in 2002. Can you believe that she has been working in the size inclusion space since then? Chelsea created Bella Management after witnessing friends and family struggled with eating disorders and cultural and gender identity, as well as substance abuse caused by the lack of visibility in the mainstream media. Chelsea was determined to be the change that she wanted to see in the world and created an agency with a holistic and healthy approach to representing models and talent of every ethnicity, size, gender, and age. Today, Bella Management is renowned across the world for its inclusive approach to representation. Chelsea is a fierce advocate for body positivity and regularly delivers keynote speeches to schools, groups, and businesses. As Chelsea says, Bella represents the beauty and diversity of our humanity. Health is beauty. Emotional wellness is beauty. Representation is beautiful, and certainly talent does not exist in one form, at one age, or in one colour. I can't wait to share Chelsea's inspiring message and this vulnerable and honest conversation with you today. Enjoy. But welcome to the Curvy Culture Podcast, Chelsea Bonner.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Chelsea, this is a real moment for me because, to me, you're one of the pioneers in the diversity and inclusion space in Australia. And I love that, as I've been learning about you, that you were really challenging beauty standards before it became a trend.
Yeah. Yes, it has. Thank God it's become a trend. I'm really happy about that. But yeah, it's been 21 years of really, really hard slog to get to the point now where it's still not normalized, but it's way more normal than it was. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I bet it was really hard in those early days to even start conversations around this.
Yeah, they just didn't want to know, you know, fat women don't belong in fashion or beauty or in advertising at all, actually, because apparently we don't buy cars, we don't buy houses, we don't go to the bank. We don't, you know, we don't exist. We don't buy you know, dishwashing liquid, whatever. You know, it just, and that's what people don't realize. It's not just fashion. Fashion is one of the ways I fight, but it's beauty. It's everyday products. It's it's the advertising that sells us everything. That's where, you know, it's not just one facet. Fashion is just one facet. And it gets more attention than mainstream advertising as far as press and those, like if we get a cover of Vogue or a cover of Marie Claire or a cover of Cosmo, that gets more attention than someone doing a bank ad. But it's all important and it all adds up, you know, so.
Absolutely. I agree. Oh, that's a beautiful introduction. And I'd love to really get into, if you wouldn't mind sharing your journey in regards to body size body and size inclusion and how it led you to really shake things up in this space.
Well, I think I was always a very, very fit, sporty young woman, and I played a lot of sport. I was in almost every team. I played basketball, softball, netball, athletics, rode horses, did cross country. You know, I've always loved my sport. But I was always curvy. So I was always really super fit, but very curvy. And as I got older and, you know, into my teenage years and started to develop, you know, hips and boobs and things like that, it was obvious that I was always going to be, you know, a really curvy woman. But what I didn't realise was how abhorrent people found that and how... You know, especially in my teenage years was when Kate Moss was the model of the moment.
So,
you know, she was, that was what was held up as ideal. So absolutely no boobs, absolutely no hips, no shape at all. Just, you know, they wanted us looking as close to death as possible, you know, and as close to a 10-year-old girl as possible, which I find so disturbing. You know, and that's another reason I find a lot of this very uncomfortable, a lot of this advertising, because I don't understand why grown-up women's fashion brands, I won't name them because, you know, they're everywhere, but why those brands are hiring 14, 15-year-old girls to wear their designer fashions, girls who can't afford it, and girls who would never wear it in their everyday life anyway. They're down at Joshy wearing a mini skirt. They're not, you know, they're not wearing... $3,000 cashmere suits. So, you know, it's the whole thing is absolutely batshit, you know, when you think about it. It's just so crazy. And it's really, you know, I've said this a few times that it makes people uncomfortable, but it really is kind of pedophilic because it's, you know, it's not right. It's not right to put young girls in grown-up women's environments and clothing. It's there's something really wrong with that. So we have to change it. And you know, we know through the stats, it's not my, you know, I love when I'm talking in rooms and people go, oh, but I don't think that's true. And I'm like, well, it's not about whether you think it's true or whether I think it's true. It's statistically factual. That, you know, you can argue with me all you want, but I am talking about actual facts here, and it's available to everybody on the Australian Bureau of Statistics website. By the time women are around 20, 21 years old, the majority of us are a size 14 to 16. That is just fact.
Absolutely.
So,
You know, I agree.
I find it. I mean, I've, you know, many people have tried to argue with me over the years, but they've never got an answer for that. So So it's a choice, is what I'm saying. It's not. It's not. You know, choosing to market your product to less than 10% of the population and ignore the rest of us is just the definition of insanity. And if you went to a bank with that business plan, they would laugh you out of the room.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just don't get it. And I think, you know, maybe back in the day, you know, maybe even 10 years ago, there was still this sort of thing where advertisers, particularly and marketing people, thought that we still wanted to see unattainable images, even if we couldn't be it, and that somehow wanting to look like that would drive us to buy a product.
Yes.
And that may have worked a long time ago, but yeah, what happened is, as a community, as a society, we caught up, we read, we watch things, we have children, we have nieces and nephews and mums and aunties and brothers and, you know, dads who don't fit into any of these bizarre elitist sort of ideas. And people have started to question that and go, well, hang on, this is, this is all sorts of wrong. You know, where are we represented?
Yeah.
You know, why do only really skinny white women buy Dynamo? You know,
it's so crazy. And you're right, we really have gone from that aspirational marketing to more authentic marketing. I think that's what consumers are craving now, is that authenticity.
And the thing is that, you know, like I've been saying for 20 years, you know, size 14, 16, size 20 women are still aspirational and inspirational. They still have to be photogenic. They still have to bring something, you know, different. Not just, not anyone can have a nice photo taken of them. It's you know, there's still that inspiration is still there. And it's also up to their stylists, their hair and makeup artists, the photography, the, you know, the producers, to make it more interesting than just taking a photo of a 14-year-old girl in a $3,000 suit. You know, like, so we just need to be a little bit more creative about it. But as we do that, the more and more shoots we've done, the more and more change we've seen. And I just feel like it's my job to just get as many of those jobs across the line as possible, because every win creates another win, no matter how small. So every single job is important to me, you know.
Awesome. Well, I just want to go back a little bit in your history, because I know when we were chatting just before, you told me that you were one of three curve models in Australia when you were modelling. So how did you go from being a curve model to running an inclusive modelling and talent agency?
Well, so my mum is a model. She was one of Australia's most well-known models of her time, and my dad was an actor. So I grew up in the business, and when I was about 15 or 16, I think, I got a job as a junior agent, and I worked as a junior agent in an agency, and then I was given my own division, which was a talent division, and I ran that for a few years, and that's when I noticed that there was this same, like, two brunette, mid-30s curve models on rotation, and anytime anyone did anything, it was these two women. And apparently you're only allowed to be curvy if you're over 35 and have brown hair. And you know, I was 20, 21, something like that, and you know, loved fashion, absolutely loved it, dressed to the nines every day, you know, but I was a really good size 14, 16, and I just went to my boss who owned the agency, Greg, and I said, I think there's a market here for younger, fresher faces, because, you know, most of my friends are my size. We don't dress like that, like the, you know, sort of fuddy-duddy old clothing that they think we wear. And, you know, I just think there might be something in it. So I did a deal with him to, instead of taking my holidays, I would take my days out of my holiday days to model.
And
within the year I was torn, because I had so much work on as a model all around Australia that I had to make a decision whether to quit my job at the agency, which I loved, or continue to model. And really I just thought to myself at the time, you know, you're only young once, you get these types of opportunities, you know, maybe once in your life. Just grab it with both hands and see what happens. And so that's what I did.
And so how did the modelling then take you to your own agency?
Well, you know, I modelled for absolutely everyone in Australia. Then I went over to New York and I was signed in New York and I worked there for a year. And once I was in New York and I saw how professionally it was managed, and how many curve models were on the books over there and working, I realised that it was something that I could combine my knowledge as an agent and my passion together and do my own thing in Australia. And so I came home and did that.
Yeah, great. And so what has been becoming a size inclusive talent agent meant for you?
I think it means that, you know, I want a place for everyone in the world, and we need visibility of everyone. For me, what really drives me is not just my own want to carve out space for myself to be in the world, but, you know, knowing that my nieces are going to be probably curvy as well.
Yeah.
You know, they're growing up now and they're tall and they are curvy and they're fit and they're healthy, but they're bigger girls, you know, and there's still not enough representation, especially in that age group, where we really need it in that teenage group.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's terrible, you know, really terrible. So we've been, you know, working a lot with companies like Sports Girl in the last couple of years and, Supray and those types of companies to make sure that they're getting, you know, a really good cross-section of different sizes into their campaigns, because that's, you know, those years sort of between 12 and 18 are the worst years of your life.
Yeah,
you know,
they're critical years for your identity, for developing your sense of who you are, and
if you've got no one representing that for you, then you
you
do feel wrong. You feel like your whole body is completely wrong.
Yeah,
and it's such an awful feeling to hate yourself with such passion. And I know that because I did that to myself.
The same.
I nearly killed myself, you know, with drugs and alcohol and dieting and everything. Just to try to forget what I looked like on the outside. And I spent a long time basically existing as a head and just trying to disconnect completely from my body because I was so ashamed from it.
Yeah,
I think absolutely. There's a lot of us like that.
That really resonates for me. And I'm sure it does for a lot of our listeners.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, I write in my book, you know, there was nights, oh, God, so many nights I'd get into bed just at the end of the day thinking about every single thing I might have eaten or drank or every gram of sugar and everything and, you know, try to go to sleep and just wishing to not exist in this body and to have some other, you know, miracle or, you know, like just nightmares. I'd have terrible nightmares about, you know, chopping parts of my body off. People don't realize how destructive it is. I mean, I feel like, you know, if I just had some sort of gift where I could show people the inside of my mind at that time, if I could walk into rooms and show them how it feels and they could feel it in their own bodies, we wouldn't even need this conversation. But the lack of empathy is, you know, people find it very difficult to connect to what they don't know. So
absolutely.
You know.
Yeah. Your comment there about removing parts of your body just made me recall I used to wish that I could get a vegetable peeler and just peel off the layers of fat. And I think, gosh, how disturbing for a young mind to have that. Vision and desire.
Absolutely. And then to have society at large and all of the advertising reinforcing it constantly. You know, it's like, well, it's not just me who thinks I'm not good enough, it's everybody, you know.
Yeah.
And
everybody knows.
Everybody everywhere. And you know, there's no escaping it. And it's just it's just so awful and sucks so much of your life away, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I often wonder what potential did I lose by worrying about my weight so much back then?
Yeah.
Because all of that energy going into trying to be smaller, when if I had have just been comfortable with who I was and liked who I was at that time, what could I have done differently?
Yeah. I think a lot of my career in the early days especially was in absolute defiance, you know, as ashamed as I was of myself, I also was so rabidly angry that society would treat me like that, that I would miss out on opportunities, that people wouldn't see my intelligence or my kindness or my work ethic or anything else about me. And it I was so angry, it kept me going. You know, so I'm really lucky I had that in me, because some people don't, you know, some people don't have that. So
no, and and it is hard work. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Chelsea. And I, for one, just want to say thank you, because the work you do is not only amazing, but it is so, so needed. So I want to say thank you for letting that anger push you
thank
forward. so which leads me really nicely into the next question. What are some of the challenges that you experienced on the journey to setting up your business?
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, if for any female setting up a business 20 something years ago, it was really, really hard. Mm-hmm. I was obviously a young woman. I didn't have a lot of money behind me, so I had to work. The banks wouldn't lend me anything. They know, kept asking me when I was going to get married, did I want to have children, you know, all this like stuff that we used to have to go through all the time. And so in the end, I just thought, well, stuff it, I'll just do it myself. Mm-hmm. And I had a full-time job for the first couple of years. And I worked the business at nights, on weekends, in coffee breaks and tea breaks, you know, before I went to work. And once I think I set the goal that if I could just make, I think it was $500 a week, which would cover my rent, food and mobile phone. That's when I would quit my real job. And so that's what I did. And then I just focused on it full time. So, and that's when it really took off.
Did you get much pushback from brands?
Oh, look, constantly. But I was so lucky, because I actually had a kind of a friend and mentor in Ella Bulowitz, who is the CEO of Taking Shape. So Ella, basically, when I started, she booked every single Taking Shape catalog through me. I either modeled in it myself or she hired my models for TS. And so I had this base, back kind of like a base salary. And I was able to go out and drive everybody else crazy, because Ella helped me so much by giving me that base. So I knew every month they would book something, and that would cover my rent, bills and phone. And, you know, it was many years like that. I mean, Ella was and still is one of the most incredible people I've ever met in my life, but she really wanted me to succeed, and she, you know, she gave me that opportunity by supporting me in the beginning. And I'll be forever grateful for her.
Fantastic. Did you get much sort of backlash from people when you were trying to make waves in the size inclusion space?
Oh, all the time. I mean, I've been called, I don't even know how many names, and, you know, I've had heads of fashion brands, you know, say awful things to me, like, I will never, ever, ever have a fat person in my clothes and things like that. But you have to just let that roll off your back, because I think if it was for me personally, maybe I wouldn't have had the amount of courage or chutzpah or whatever it is that keeps you going. But because I was doing it for my friends, my family, my sisters, my nieces, you know, and everybody else, I was able to put my own personality, I guess, I'm just able to remove that and go, it's not about you, and the insults aren't directed at you. And so, and I've never been rude to anybody, I don't think, or maybe a couple of times, you know, I've lost my temper a couple of times maybe. But most of the time I just find, you know, kill them with kindness, keep asking for what you want until you break them, because you can just literally drive someone so crazy by asking politely that they will give it a go. And I know once they give it a go, they'll give it another go, because they'll sell product. So I've just got no ego around that sort of stuff. If I have to get on my hands and knees and crawl and beg and whatever, I'll do it. I don't care, as long as it gets done.
Oh, you're amazing. Now recently there's been a lot of commentary and criticism about the lack of diversity, and I'm going to say lack of diversity in general in major major fashion events. And in your bio, you refer to this as an uphill battle. What do you think needs to happen for this to change?
Look, it's unfortunately with the advent of diet marketing, you know, roughly 40, 50 years ago, the power of that dollar is just enormous. Yeah. You know, we're talking about a over $500 billion a year industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is not in their best interest at all to allow us to like ourselves.
Yeah.
That is not what sells their product.
Yeah.
So, but what's happened from that is that that type of advertising has just brainwashed generations of people. So the person standing in front of you at the supermarket tomorrow calling you a fat pig because you picked up a muffin, which has happened to me, they have been completely brainwashed. They've got absolutely no facts in their head.
Yep.
All they have in their head is advertising.
Yep, yep.
And so they've bought this absolute, like, one of the best lies of the century, in my opinion. And so to unpick that is difficult, but you have to give people a little bit of grace as well, because they don't know what they don't know.
Yep.
And so part of a lot of my job, I'd say 80% of it, is actually educating clients and the general public as to the reality of what health is and what it looks like, and that you can't visually see what health looks like.
Yep.
You can't look at someone and decide they're healthy or not. You know, thin people can have eating disorders, cancers, you know, bowel problems, all sorts of issues. And I've seen that with my own sister, and I wrote about that in the book too. When she was at her worst with anorexia and bulimia, at her absolute worst and nearly dying, and we were all terrified, she got compliments every day.
Wow.
Every day.
Yeah.
You know, how beautiful she looked and whatever. She was dying and people just kept telling her how beautiful she was. So it's so dangerous, this idea that you think you can look at someone and decide whether they're healthy or not, or happy or not.
Yeah.
And this is the other thing that drives me insane. You know, I couldn't care less what size anybody is at all, as long as they're happy. That emotional wellness and happiness is the holy grail of life.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you are a size 450 and you are happy and loving life, good on you. That's what we should all want.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? So there's absolutely no point in living a really long, miserable, thin life with no food and no love for yourself or anything else, and just an absolute obsession with what you're putting into your body. That's not life.
Yeah,
that's not living.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I agree. And it really, there's that real assumption and stereotype that if you're fat, you're unhappy. And I really want to blow that out of the water.
I mean, I know. Like, I have been a size 14 to 16 my entire adult female life, and I can tell you I am not unhappy at all.
Yeah.
I've traveled the entire world. I've eaten in every beautiful restaurant. I've tried every cocktail there is. I've danced on every table. I've skinny dipped in oceans all over the world. I've met incredible people. I've dated beautiful men. You know, like, that is just such a fallacy.
Yeah.
I've done, I don't know, hundreds of triathlons and, you know, bike rides through canyons. And I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Fantastic.
That idea is so mental.
Yeah. And it's saying, and you've touched on this a couple of times too, that idea that your body, you can tell someone's health by their body size. I mean, you're a perfect example of that. And I feel like I am too. You can still live an active life even in a bigger body. And be healthy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
So I'd love to, because this podcast is really aimed at helping businesses and organizations find their way to size inclusivity, I'd love for you to share, and obviously please don't share anything confidential, but could you give some examples of some of the successes that you've helped your clients achieve?
Yeah, I mean, we, on average, we see once clients start to integrate size, you know, size diversity into their brands, we've seen companies go from, you know, anything up to 350% increase in their sales margins.
Wow.
It's huge. Yeah. The power of this is huge. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, which I don't know that people have researched much, is, you know, it's about, in Australia alone, the, you know, women over a size 10 and up, yeah, to whatever size, that market is worth roughly $11 billion a year.
Yeah.
And there's only a couple of companies doing it well now at the moment. You know, you've got Tia's and City Chic and one or two others that are, yeah, sort of cutting in there. But there's so much money in this side of the market. Yeah. And we're just being completely ignored. Yeah. I mean, that's, and then we're watching designers, you know, closing their doors and going bankrupt every second day, yeah, which is just mad,
yeah,
to me.
Yeah.
It's like they would rather go bankrupt and die on their size 8 sword,
yeah,
than just, you know, stock, be inclusive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Stock a size, yeah, 18 and upwards. Yeah, yeah.
So your whole dream is getting flushed down the toilet, yeah, just because you don't want a, yeah, fat person to wear your clothes. And what is fat anyway? I mean, I just really don't understand that as well. You know, everybody has fat on them and you would die without it.
Yeah.
You would actually die.
Yeah.
You need fat to survive. Yeah. So, you know, even these, you know, I'm kind of loving reclaiming the word fat,
yes,
because it's, you know, it was used as an insult for so
it
long.
Was.
But, you know, the fact is that everybody needs fat,
yeah,
to live.
Yeah, absolutely.
For brain function and,
yes,
for everything,
yeah,
collagen, for their skin, for their hair.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so now if someone uses that word with me, I'm like, yeah. And I look really young, don't I, for 50?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I say too.
And my,
yeah,
brain is firing.
Yeah, yeah, and absolutely. And that was actually the topic of my last podcast episode, how I went from shame to empowerment by embracing the word fat. And if you want to call me fat now, go for your life, because I love the word. And I'm with you. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm 50 next year, so I'm like, yeah, I look great. Yeah, yeah, everyone thinks, yeah, I'm exactly 40. So I'm like, yes, winning.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So you've mentioned a couple of brands that are leading the way in this space. Is there any, mm-hmm, other brands, and even outside of Australia, that you think are doing great things in this? And maybe not even fashion brands. Are there other, mm-hmm, brands in general you think are doing great things in this space?
I mean, I still think it's I still think it's too separate at the moment. Mm. I still don't like the idea of separating women into categories,
yeah,
based on their dress size,
yeah,
like we're cattle or,
yeah,
something,
yeah,
you know. So I don't think anyone's doing that very well yet,
yeah,
either. You know, there's companies who cater for all different sizes, but they'll break the range,
yeah,
up into different categories and think, I hate,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I just want to be able to walk into a shop with my sisters,
yep,
and buy the size 16 version of what,
yes,
they're buying. And I think that's all we,
yes,
want. That's all any of us,
yeah,
want. You know,
yeah,
so I hate going shopping with my sisters and,
mm,
you know, I can't shop in the shops they,
yeah,
shop in.
Yeah.
And they,
yeah,
can't shop in the shops I shop,
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like all this kind of separation drives me a bit crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't, that's why I don't like terms like plus size and curve. And although that has been, you know, reclaimed in a lot of ways by a lot of people, and I understand that totally.
Mm-hmm.
But also at the same time, you know, we're not a different gender. We're not a different category. We're not a different anything.
No.
We're just a different dress,
yeah,
size.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
It kind of, it does just drive me crazy.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But I understand, until we get to that point, I understand that we won't be able to stop using those terms until it's properly integrated.
Yeah.
And I also understand the safety in community in identifying, as I did for a long time, as a plus,
mm-hmm,
size person, because we take care of each other.
Yeah.
We take care of, you know, we're very careful with each other. We give each other a lot of love and support,
yeah,
and energy and tips and hints, and,
yes,
we share fashion and we share topics,
yeah,
and we share them in spaces where we're not judged by anybody else, and we don't have that person in the room saying you can't wear my clothes, or,
yeah,
you know, so,
yeah,
you know, it's a hard one,
yeah,
but I would like to just see it all mesh together,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, that would,
yeah,
be the ideal for me too, I think, yeah, same,
yeah,
dress, different,
yeah,
size, same rack, different size.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
That's right, yeah.
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 So what three pieces of advice would you give to businesses and brands who want to move into this space?
I don't know if I've got three specific pieces of advice, but I would just say do it, because it will increase your sales. There is no question in my mind. I've seen it over and over and over and over and over again in my last 20 years. And if I didn't see that, I mean, I started with a secondhand computer in my bedroom and I now have 20 staff and two offices. So if that doesn't tell you that it works, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
It works. And people and clients come back and back and back to me to do it again and again and again because it does work. So,
fantastic.
You know, the other thing I would suggest is to ignore what your marketing team think you should do and really have a look through who's following you on social media, mm-hmm. who is buying your clothes, get the surveys out, get the market research out, get your customers to fill in, find out what you know, the most common size is in your sales.
Yeah.
You know, look at the charts, look at the data, find out and use models and people who are more closer to that size, if not that size, in your marketing. Don't keep putting clothes on teenage size 8, size 6 girls. Yeah. You know, who is your market? Look at that.
Yeah.
You know, and those old ideas of what beauty is have just been shattered in the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely.
People have absolutely had enough.
Yep.
They've completely had enough. The anger is out of control.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's you've got to just get on board with it now, otherwise you're going to be left behind and, you know, or you'll be filing for bankruptcy like a lot of the others. So,
I think that's a great call out to get on board with it, because we're seeing in the last few years, to your point, the conversation is shifting.
Mm-hmm.
The consumers in this group, we're getting more smarter and more discerning, and if you're not mm-hmm. communicating with us on all different levels, you're missing out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because we're either not buying or we're buying somewhere else. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, what's happening is we're, especially Australian women, we're buying offshore. Yep. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why Australian labels are going down the tubes because, you know, we can go purchase things in America and the UK and anywhere else in the world now in our size. That is on fashion.
Yep.
It turns up at our doorstep. We don't have, you know, any of the pressure that we do here when we go shopping and leave the day feeling, you know, mortified.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
angry.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
So they've got to do something about it or it's just going to fail.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. And my last question is, this is a bit of a personal question, but this is big, challenging work, and you've been at it a long time. What do you do to look after yourself and stay energized in this space?
I had kind of a mini breakdown probably 6 years ago now, or maybe seven. I don't know. With COVID, I've lost a bit of time.
Yeah,
but it's 8 years now.
Yeah.
It's like deleted.
I know. It feels like life was on pause for that time.
So weird. Yeah. But because I am so passionate about this, I was running myself ragged, you know, and have been since the beginning. You know, I had a full-time job and ran the business. I maybe slept 4 hours a night for the first couple of years. And then once I went full-time, I just never slept properly. Yeah. I was always on the road. I was always traveling. I was always in meetings, and I just broke. Yeah. And since then, I have really reconstructed my whole life, everything from when I eat to, you know, how I move through the day. Mm-hmm. I make sure I get enough quiet time. I do not work ever after 7 o'clock at night anymore.
Awesome.
At all. And I don't start work again until maybe 7 a.m. in the morning.
Yep.
So that might not sound like a lot to some people, but for me, that's an enormous amount of time to just be able to read and swim and go for a walk and, you know, whatever, hug the dog.
Yep.
And that's really helped me. And just, tweaking my nutrition, I think, has really helped me as well. I didn't know, I seemed to have a lot of allergies, and I didn't know that, was lactose and things like that. So tweaked that around. And, so generally I feel heaps better.
Yep.
And, it's but reading is my way of forgetting where I am and who I am and what's going on, and just losing myself in a good book and pretending Chelsea Bonner CEO doesn't even exist. I'm just like, I don't know, I'm the character of whatever book I'm reading at the time, and that's my escape.
Love it. Yeah, and I wanted to ask that question because this work is so big and you have put your whole heart and soul into it. And I think it's important for anyone who's going into this space to realise that it is big and it does take a lot of emotional effort, and it's important for your example to look after yourself so you can sustain the battle, so to speak.
It is really important. And, I have seen quite a few people come into the industry thinking they're going to change the world and change the way everything's done. And when it doesn't happen like that, they get so frustrated and quite angry, and some can even get quite bitter. Yep. And, you know, it's just we're trying to change an entire society of, you know, such long-held views, and it's not going to take a minute. No. It is going to take 20 years, it's gonna, you know, or more.
It's going to take generations. Yeah. But it's people like you and I and the other people in this space that, you know, we're starting to get the ball rolling and starting to build, I guess, the stairway.
And then we've got to hand it over to the kids to take over from us. Yeah. And that's, I think, when I've decided to retire, when I feel like I've got the right people in the business to carry on for me, that's when I'll step back. Yeah. But at the moment, I'm still the most passionate person in the office about this. So I'm waiting to meet the person who's going to eclipse me.
Yeah, they will come. They will come.
They'll come.
When the time is right, they will come. Yeah. Well, Chelsea Bonner, thank you so much for your honesty, your vulnerability, your transparency. This has been an amazing interview. You've got me all inspired again. So a big thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate the time and wisdom.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for talking about this topic, because it's just so important, and the more we talk about it, the better.
I agree. Awesome. Mm. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening to the Curvy Culture podcast. I hope you've been able to take away some practical tips that you can implement, or that it's generated some thinking that you can do around how you might be able to create a size inclusive environment. If you've enjoyed this episode, I would really love you to leave a review and a rating, because this will help more people to find us and to spread this important message. And if you'd like to know more about creating a size inclusive workplace, please download my size inclusive checklist for people leaders, HR and DEI practitioners. You can find it at www.andreawestbrook.com.au/freebies.